Welcome to episode one of the Mind Your Self-Defense podcast. On today's episode, I'll explain how my self-defense journey can help you.
Welcome to the Mind Your Self-Defense podcast, where my goal is to teach men and women how to gain confidence by connecting to their inner badass. I am your host, Sensei Andrew. I am a black belt in Krav Maga, NRA firearms instructor, a U.S. Navy veteran, and owner of Rise Above Self-Defense. By using interviews with industry professionals, self-defense students, product reviews, and personal experience, I can help guide you to your badass. Okay, so let me give you some details before I start my story. I am 6 foot tall. I am currently 260 pounds. And I have normally been in decent shape my entire life. This story is going to tell you how I got to the lowest point of my life, and it also brought me to the highest point of my life. So, now that you have some details, let me start my journey, my self-defense journey, and how it could help you. Well, I was always a very active person when I was younger. I played sports. I played baseball, football, softball, paintball, airsoft, martial arts, anything that had to do with fighting or war games or whatever. I've pretty much done them all. So that used to keep me in shape. Then as I became an adult and I started taking on more responsibilities, a wife, kids, house, full-time job, I started to get a little inactive. And after a couple years of inactivity, I ended up gaining the pounds. And yeah, to me, it was nothing. It was just, I guess it was part of life. Then one day I was trying to tie my shoes and I was losing my breath, and one of my co-workers told me that the company was starting a softball league. So I joined the softball league and I started playing. After a couple seasons, one particular game, I hit a double and I was rounding second base because I was going to try to make it a triple, and I ended up tearing my PCL ligament. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's the ligament behind your knee. The ACL is the ligament in front of your knee, and the PCL is the ligament behind your knee. So, needless to say, I had to get surgery. I was out of work for 6 months. I had to go to rehab, blah, blah, blah. During that time, I got into a really bad depression, and I ended up gaining 300 pounds. That was the heaviest I've ever been in my whole entire life. So, when I was trying to tie my shoes again another day, I was having even a harder time than I was when I started playing softball. And my wife approached me and said, "Do you remember that conversation we had years ago about if you ever get a certain size, I'm going to shoot you?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And she goes, "Well, I'm getting the gun ready." And that really knocked me for a loop. And it kind of made my depression a little worse. So, you know, I didn't know what to do. And my wife said, "Well, you used to like martial arts. Why don't you look into a martial arts dojo or school and take martial arts again?" So, you know, I'm not a big fan of cardio. I'm not hating on anybody that does it. I personally don't like cardio. I don't mind lifting weights and working out. Cardio has never been my thing. But I do remember when I was in martial arts, I was gaining good cardio while I was learning something. So I started doing my research, and I wasn't looking for martial arts. I was looking for self-defense. I was looking for, if someone attacks me, I want to be able to defend myself. So after a couple of days of research, I ended up finding a dojo near me that taught Krav Maga, which is the Israeli military martial art. So I went, I took a free class. I really enjoyed it. So I ended up signing up.
I'm not going to lie. The first year was tough. Physically, I was struggling. A 300-pound man should not be trying to do a break fall or doing sit-ups or any kind of exercise like that. No, I'm just kidding. It was very physically tough on me because I had never been used to moving that much weight around. And simple stuff like push-ups and sit-ups were really kicking my butt. But I dove into my training head first, and I was feeling good about myself. And it got to the point where I just started overtraining, and I ended up becoming very arrogant. That arrogance was not good because I became cocky at the dojo. I was so focused on my training and how good I was feeling about myself because the pounds were coming off. And I just wanted to get that rush of training and feeling my empowerment. But I also started neglecting my wife, my children, because it was all about me. Like my wife called it. She goes, "That was your Andrew show phase." And it was not the best phase for me. But lucky I had a reality check. My reality check came in the form of my sensei doing a spinning back fist to my face during a sparring session when I hit him a little too hard. Yeah, I deserved it. Then that's when he came up to me. That's when he told me, "You got skills, but you're so focused on hitting your target that you aren't seeing what's coming at you." So I was so focused on, I gotta land that punch, that I didn't see him spin and land that perfect hit on my face. So he suggested, just change your mindset. Be a little more open to stuff, and you will see what happens. Once it was pointed out to me, and I started being more aware of the way I was thinking, and that's what happens sometimes, is that, you know, we are bombarded with so much responsibility, bills, family, just life in general throws so much stuff at you every day, that when we feel a little bit of control, I guess, in our own mind about what our situation, that sometimes we get focused on it and we say F everything else. And we don't see what's going on around us. So it takes somebody from the outside to point it out to you. Then you start realizing, you know, am I really that big of a jerk? Or was I really acting that way? And, you know, you have to hold yourself accountable, because no one's making you act that way. You know, the mind is the most powerful weapon in the world. It can be your best friend, or it could be your worst enemy. So you need to learn how to control your mind. That when your mind learns how to control your body, that's when you are the best. But if your mind is controlling you to do one thing that you really don't want to do, or your mind and your body are not in sync, it just makes everything that much harder. Prime example is a dancer. Dancers are good because they know how to move their body. Their body is moving the way they want it to move, when they want it to move. And that's because they put in the time to train themselves so they can sync up their mind to their body. I've had a lot of students that I teach them a technique, and the move is done, but they're adding an extra step to it. And most of the time, they don't even know they're doing that extra step.
A very common issue is if someone's throwing a jab, which is a punch with the front hand, your lead hand, they have tendency to dip their arm before they extend it. 99% of new students run into that issue, and 99% of the students don't know they're doing it. Just the body does stuff that we just don't feel. So once you point that out to the person, then they stop dipping their hand or their arm before they punch. And it just takes someone to point it out.
After my sensei pointed it out to me, I began to change my approach to my training. I began not to take it so seriously anymore. And I started having fun again, like I did when I first started the training. I started helping the lower ranking belts with their techniques. I even gave them a couple of pointers. And over the weeks and months of watching the lower ranking students get confidence, I felt good because I felt like they were gaining the confidence because of something that I helped them with. And I've even had a couple of students tell me during the time that I was helping them out that, you know what, thank you for the advice. Thank you for taking the time to correct my technique. And it really feels good, and I understand why people become instructors or teachers. It's pretty cool when you can affect someone in a positive light like that. So that is what kind of gave me the inspiration to start my own business. And so I did. I started when I was a higher ranking student. I was about a year from my black belt when I started. But I started my own business in 2018, and I've been teaching in the park ever since. And the ongoing training is what's helped me keep my weight loss. I haven't hit my goal yet of my 240, but I'm still a 260, so I still maintained the 40-pound weight loss for almost 6 years now. So that's a win in my book. When I changed my mindset, it also helped me prepare for my black belt test. It made it more productive because I was not afraid to ask people for help.
Eventually, I'd like to start my own school and do it full-time. But right now, this is my part-time side hustle. But I wanted to share the importance of having the mindset. And this is what I try to instill in my students, is that your mindset is more important than your physical skills when it comes to fighting. So I'm going to tell you a quick story to elaborate on what I'm trying to say. When I was about 14 years old, I was in a boxing school, and I had been there for about a year. And I was 13, 14-ish, I can't remember, but this other kid from our school, he was 13, 14, around there, but he was from a wealthy family. And I was not from a poor family, but I wasn't from a wealthy family either. I was raised by a single mother, and she had me and my older brother, and both of us were in the boxing camp. So this kid shows up in a very nice Cadillac, and he signed up for boxing the day before. He showed up with brand new headgear, brand new gloves, brand new mouthpiece, brand new boots, everything to the nines. And I had the hand-me-down boxing gear from my brother, and he had the hand-me-down boxing gear from my cousin. So the coach said, okay, let's put him in and just start training. And the kid was like, no, no, no. I want to box. I want to be in the ring and I want to spar someone. And my coach said, no, you need to learn the fundamentals first. And the kid insisted and his father insisted that his son could do it. So the coach said, okay, put him in the ring. He looks at me, he goes, Andrew, why don't you go a couple rounds with him? And I was more than happy to oblige. So in less than 10 seconds, I gave him the basic double jab cross combo. And I hit him with all three so cleanly that his head was spinning and he didn't know what to do. He ended up taking his gloves off and slamming them to the ground in embarrassment. His ego was controlling his mindset. So when he stepped into the ring, he thought because he had the newest, latest gear that he would be able to beat me up or at least fight me. And what happened was when I landed those three clean punches on him, his ego was deflated. He didn't know what to do at that moment. So he left. That's when I realized that when my sensei gave me my reality check, that I had become that ego-driven person. And I didn't like it. But once I had my new mentality, my mindset, it just totally changed everything for me in a positive way. I was feeling good about myself. I was gaining the confidence without the cockiness. I was helping other people and enjoying that. My relationships were getting stronger. My relationship with my wife and my kids were getting better. I was just having so much fun. It was a big turnaround from where I started, when the guy who couldn't even tie his own shoes. But it just what a great feeling to have. And this is why I want to share my experience with people, so I could help them in any way possible. I can help you overcome self-doubt, the overwhelming days of lack of motivation, and to embrace your fear of failure. That is what inspired me to start this podcast. This podcast is for me as much as it is for you. After writing the outline for this story, it made me realize that I am still 20 pounds from my target weight of 240 pounds. So guess who started going back to the gym? That's right, me. I have to hold myself accountable for my actions or my inactions. So I haven't lost the last 20 pounds because I haven't been putting in the work like I should. So, like I said, writing the outline for this story, it made me realize that I have to put in the work to achieve my goal. It doesn't mean that you're going to be an a-hole. All it's going to mean is that you're going to be confident in the fact that you can protect yourself and your loved ones. So my promise to you is that I will not endorse or suggest any products or techniques that I wouldn't use myself or have my daughters used. Both my daughters are black belts in Taekwondo. My oldest one at 24 is a third degree black belt in Taekwondo. And my youngest one at 19 is a second degree black belt in Taekwondo. They also have about a year and a half of Krav Maga under their belt. Due to them going to school full time and working part time, all that stuff, they've had to put their training on hold a little bit. But I did convert my garage into a dojo, so we train whenever we get a chance to train. So like I said on the trailer, sensei is too formal for this format, so Andrew will work fine. And I'll be dropping a new episode every Wednesday, so look out for that. So like I said again, my commitment to you guys is I'm not going to review or endorse any products that I haven't personally used or I haven't personally reviewed. And if I do get products to review, I will put them through pressure tests.
Pressure tests are important for self-defense weapons because you need to make sure that they're going to function when you need them the most. And for me to pressure test them, I'm going to go above and beyond what that product is designed for. So say it's a coup baton, I'm going to be hitting tree trunks with it. I'm going to be hitting plastic bottles, whatever I can to really test it out. Because if it's going to do damage to that kind of stuff, then I definitely know that it would do damage to my opponent. And I also want to make sure that when I use the product, it doesn't do damage to myself. So I don't want to have no vibration in my hands that's going to hurt me or have me hit something hard and it slips in my hand and it ends up cutting the inside of my hand or tearing skin off. If I'm using a weapon, it should be effective and simple for me to use and should not cause any damage to me, but it should cause damage to my opponent. So what you could look forward to from this podcast is that I am going to have interviews with martial art and self-defense experts, Muay Thai expert, Taekwondo experts, Krav Maga experts, self-defense experts, knife fighting experts, firearm experts. So I am in the process of doing some interviews with them. And as soon as they drop, I'll give you guys plenty of notice. So there's going to be some fun and exciting things for you and me to really look forward to. I'm really excited to see where this podcast journey will take me. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this. And I'm curious to see where it'll take me. I'm ready for any roadblocks. And hopefully, you know, I could get around them and give you guys the best quality podcast that I can. And I also want to thank you guys for sharing your time with me and joining me on this journey. And I hope you guys get some valuable information from this. I'm going to try every episode to give you the best product I can to make it easier for you to become the best person you can. I know I've repeated that a couple times, but it's just that's how important it is for me to make sure I say something that's effective and simple for people to understand so they could change their mind and actually implement that into their mindset and make it better for them. So, well, that's episode one. So that wraps up this week's episode. Next week, I'll be discussing the predator versus prey mindset. Which one are you? Thanks for joining us today on the Mind Your Self-Defense Podcast. If you have any topic ideas or questions, shoot me an email at andrew@riseabovesouthdefense.com or visit our website, riseabovesouthdefense.com. Remember, only you can unleash your badass.